Are you ready for the word today? All right. We started a series last week. Didn't know it was going to be a series. I was just preaching. And now it's turned into a little series. We'll continue on for a little bit. We're just talking about reigning, about how God wants us to live our lives, what God has called us to be, the authority that we're supposed to be operating and walking in. And I want to recap a little bit from last week. Some of you were not here, Labor Day, and some of you were on a boat somewhere. And so I want to recap. It's funny because last week I made a comment welcoming our Thames Ford campus, because there were a lot of our folks that were at the lake. And I actually got a message from someone this week said, "You all have a campus at Thames Ford?" Said, "No, we don't, but we should, right? That'd be a cool place to have one." Glad y'all are back. Everybody's with us today. And so I want to recap for those of you that missed it. But honestly, I want to recap because even if we were here, we all need to hear this. I know that I preached it last week and I had to remind myself this week of what God has called us to do. We start with Genesis chapter 1 and 26. And God said, "Let us make human beings in our image to be like us." Everybody say beings. I want to make beings. In other words, I want them to be. I think sometimes when we talk about being made in God's image, we kind of have this that we look like him. I don't know. I've never seen God. But I do know that I am made in his image to be like him. Doesn't matter what it looks like, I am made to be like him. I'm a being. And he goes on, he says, "Let us make human beings in our image to be like us, and they will reign." Everybody say that with me. They will reign. I want you to look at you. No, I'm trying to get this down to only two look at your neighbors a Sunday, all right? I'm doing my best. So I want you to go ahead and pick your favorite neighbor right now. And I want you to look at them. I want you, in the eye. Come on now. I'll give you another chance. You can make it up in a minute. Come on. I didn't even tell you what to say yet. Look at him and say, "You were created to reign." So we quoted the beginning of the Bible. Now let's fast forward to the end of the Bible. How many know the first book of the Bible? Can you say it for me, Dennis? How many know the last book of the Bible? No, it's not true. It's Revelation. It's not Revelations. Do you know that? Write that down. You're not taking notes on that one, right? Revelation. It's not about revelations. It is the revelation. I think revelation can scare a lot of people. How many just kind of stay away from that book? Raise your hand. Most pastors do, because we don't even know what it's talking about most of the time. And we just kind of stay away from it. But if you can have this concept that it's not just about end time prophecies and dragons and hell and brimstone, but it's about the revelation of Jesus Christ. You have that understanding, then when you read it, it changes. It puts that filter where you can see it. And that's a big, big difference. So before we read in Revelation, we have to have the concept and the context of it. So Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, this is a revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants the events that must soon take place. The book of Revelation is literally the revelation of Jesus Christ. We can see him as he is. Not Jesus in a manger. When I picture Jesus, I like to picture him in a ninja suit, all right? It's a movie reference, by the way. You're like, really? You do? Okay. So I don't know how you picture Jesus, but when you read Revelation, this is not Jesus in the manger. This is not Jesus on the cross. This is not even Jesus at the resurrection. Look at me, lean in, hear me online, overflow, right here. Listen to this. This is Jesus as who he was, who he is, and who he always will be. That's what this revelation shows us. It's who he always has been and who he's going to be, who he is right now. And I want to show you who he is now. Chapter 11, verse 15 of Revelations. And the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and his anointed one. Look at this. And he shall reign forever and ever. That is the king we serve. That is the Lord of lords and the King of kings that we serve, that we follow after. Now, we've read the first chapter of the last book of the Bible. Now, let's get to the very end of it and watch this. Revelations 22 and 3. No longer, I read this last week, no longer will there be a curse upon anything. For the throne of God and the Lamb will be there, and his servants will worship him, and they will see his face, and his name will be written on their foreheads. And there will be no night there, no need for lamps or sun, for the Lord God will shine on them. I want you to read this out loud with me, and not just out loud, but very loud. You ready? Last sentence. And they will reign forever and ever. Now, poke yourself in the chest and say, that's me. That's me. That's you. That's what I want us to get today. That this right there, we're going to reign forever and ever. That's us. He's giving us this. We are created to reign. He fully expected Adam and Eve to reign, and he fully expects us to reign. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. Paul said, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe. There's several scriptures in the Bible where Paul will say, I want you to have an understanding of God's love. I want you to have an understanding of God's grace. But that's not what he's saying here. He said, I want you to have an understanding of God's power. And I think for a lot of us, we hear a lot about grace. We hear a lot about love. But I don't know that we talk enough about the power that we have through Jesus Christ. And I want us to get it. Paul says, I want you to have this understanding of the power for who? Us who believe. It's for me. It's not for someone who's perfect. It's not for someone who's fasted 40 days and 40 nights. That's great. But that is not who it's for. It's for me. I'm a believer, and he wants me to have his power to rule and to reign. One of my favorite passages in the Bible is Philippians chapter 2. We're not going to bring it up. I read it last week. And again, I would encourage you, if you were not here last week, to go back and watch it or listen to it on the podcast. But Philippians 2 is really, I think it's really another gospel. It's like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Philippians 2, it just takes the gospel and it just shows you what it's all about. And it talks about the fact that Jesus laid down all of his power and authority, and he came and robed, and I always say he robbed himself of that and robed himself in this, and he laid it all down and took on the form of a human, became a servant, obedient unto death. And then it says, because of this, God has given him a name that is above every name. Do you know why he did what he did? Why he hung on a cross, why he was beaten with a cat of nine tails on his back, why they shoved a crown of thorns on his head. Do you know that was not just to get you out of hell and into heaven? That was so you could have his power. Look, and if we are not living and accepting and accessing the power of God, we're missing out on what he wants us to live. He does not want us to live less than lives. He wants us to walk in authority and power, ruling and reigning with him. He goes on to say, this is the same mighty power, Ephesians 1, verse 20, that raised Christ from the dead and seated him where? In the place of honor at God's right hand in the heavenly realms. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or anything else, not only in this world, but also in the world to come. In other words, you cannot invent a name or a situation that he's not already ruling over. There'll never be a thing that he is not already ruling over. And God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. Where is Christ seated? At the right hand of God. Far above, not just almost above, not just a little above, far above any principality, power, might, or dominion, every name that is named or ever will be named. And look who's seated with him. Ephesians 2:6. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, we are seated with Christ in the same place of authority, far above. Now look, you can get down in the fray if you want to. You can get down in the muck and the mire and the mud. Get down there and get down on the enemy's level. You can, but you don't have to. You and I have access to this place of authority. Notice it says seated. That's powerful to understand that. That speaks of authority, but it also speaks of rest. And I said this last week, and I want to get back, just to recap it just for a moment. When we reign, then we can rest. When you are operating in your true authority, then you can rest. Genesis 2, so the creation of the heavens and the earth and everything in them was completed. And on the seventh day, God had finished his work of creation, so he rested from all of his work. And God blessed the seventh day, declared it holy, because it was the day when he rested from all of his work of creation. God rested. This is an example to you and I. And I had to remind myself this week of my message last week. And I really took that word rest and broke it down in the original language. There's some really cool stuff that is happening there. Matter of fact, I was playing golf on Friday with a gentleman that I had only met one time, and he was telling me his story. And man, he's been through it. He's been through a divorce. He battled cancer. He overcame that. He's just been through a whole bunch of stuff. And he was telling me, and I was telling him about this message. I said, you know, one of the definitions of the word rest means to die, like literally just to let something pass away. I'm not going to mess with that now. This is not the time for me to be thinking about that. I'm going to focus on this. And he said, man, don't you wish we'd have learned that before we went through all the hell we had to go through to learn that? What if I could have learned it when I was young? Come on, I need some gray hair, even if it's dyed, just a little gray hair. Just raise your hand and say, I wish I'd have learned that. Right up high, let me see you. Come on, kids, if you can just get that, let me write this down in your notes. Less worry, less hurry. Chill out. Be easy. Less hurry, less worry. That's what I see all the time as a pastor. Everybody just hurrying, and everybody just worrying. And even when you lay down, you're still worried, right? My pastor, Dr. Mike Hayes, tells me, John, if you're spending a millisecond on it, it's too long. You won't focus on that. My wife, I tell her throughout our marriage, I will say to her, if she's worried about something, I'll say, can you do something about it? No? Well, if you can't, stop worrying. And she loves that, by the way. She just hugs me. Tell me more. Would you just whisper that in my ears? She loves it. It never goes over well, but it's the truth. Can I hear an amen? Can you do anything about it? No? Or yes? Okay, well then do something about it. But if you can't, stop worrying about it. You're trying to go to sleep, and all you're doing is thinking about that. That's all you can think about. Stop hurrying. Stop worrying. Get to a place of reigning. And when you can, when you get to that place, then you can rest. When we reign, we can rest. Today I want to talk about when we reign, we can recreate. Genesis 1:28, and God blessed them, said, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, then reign. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth. God created us in his image. Not just how he looks, but how he is, who he is, and what he does. And you know what he does? He recreates. That's what he does. And that's what we are created to do, to recreate. Physically, that's what we're made to do. That's what we're made to do. That's why, I mean, of course, we know this about men, right? But women, and Chris and I have pastored women over the years that have not been able to have children. And it's one of the most tragic things. It's the sorrow that these women go through. And every Mother's Day, and they always think someone gets pregnant, and they want to rejoice, but it's hard for them. And the proverb says this: there are several things that are never satisfied. Fire is one of them. One of them is the desert, searching for water. There's one more I can't remember, but the third one is a woman's womb. It's never satisfied. There's always this desire to, because we're made to do that, right? God created us to be that way, to recreate. And thank God. There's a reason it's called recreation. Amen? Come on, man. Can I get an amen? Nobody? Nobody with me? All right, good. We'll just move on that one too. I'm going to find another church. Well, can we just get through this today? It's this desire that we have, that we long for. And that's because that is how we were created. But it's not just physically. It's also spiritually that we are called to recreate. Look at Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came and told his disciples, now watch this, this is important. I have been given all authority and in heaven and on earth. Now stop right there. Look at me. I want to say this is important. You've never heard him say this throughout his earthly ministry. This is the first time you hear him say this. Matter of fact, he would tell people, shh. He'll heal them and they will say, don't tell anybody. Keep it quiet. It's not my time yet. His mother at the wedding where he turns water to wine. His mom says, you're out of wine? Go talk to my boy over there. He'll take care of it. And he goes, Mom, it's not my time. Easy. He obeyed his mom, though, right? There's probably a good message in that one as well. He would always say things like, it's the Father. It's not about me. It's about the Father. It's his will. But now, after Philippians 2, after his death, burial, and resurrection, now what do you hear him say? Hey, all power in heaven and earth. Given to me, baby. Let's go. Right? That's what you hear him saying. Why? Why does he now have all power? Watch it. Next verse, it says, therefore. Remember I said last week, my daddy taught me. He was my pastor. When you see therefore, see what it's? Therefore. Right? So you go back. Therefore, why? I have been given all authority in heaven and earth. Therefore, I want you to go make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Jesus has all power, not so he can just say, I got all power. Not so he can stand in white and just, woo, that's not why he has all power. He has all power to give it to us so that we can go recreate. We can go and make disciples. This is recreating. This is investing in others and watching them become more like Jesus. This is God's ultimate plan. So I have a question for you today. Who are you discipling? Who in your life right now is being discipled by you? Who is becoming more like Jesus because of you? This is an evaluation that we need to stop. And even as a pastor, I have to stop and ask this. It's not just enough for me to stand here and preach to several hundred people or thousands when you look online, and that's not enough. Who am I pouring into? Who am I investing my time to make them more like Jesus? Who are you discipling? Who are you recreating? Who is more like Jesus because you are in their life? A sobering thought, isn't it? Because we kind of get through doing our own thing and we just forget that we're supposed to be recreating ourselves. I'll ask you another question. Who is discipling you? Who is in your life that is helping you become more like Jesus? That's saying that to you. This is why we encourage people to be a part of a group. Get in a group. Join one of our teams. Serve in Hills Kids. Be a host. Get around people. Wednesday nights, I love Wednesday nights right here. We're doing a discipleship class that's starting. I would encourage you to be here. We're doing one for a few weeks, and then another will launch after that. It's just going through the Bible and spending time with one another. Who in your world is discipling you. I have a pastor, Dr. Mike Hayes. He's my pastor. And he pastors me. I mean, he coaches me up. We have overseers. We have a board of directors, but we also have overseers. And these are seasoned people that speak into our life, and they help us become more like, here's what I found. If you're going to have someone disciple you, you got to seek them out. They're probably not going to come to you. So if you're waiting on them just to show up and go, I would like to disciple you, it's probably not going to happen. You got to go find them. Here's this. The natural is always opposite from the spiritual. All right. If you want to go up, you go down. That's how it happens. If I want to be exalted, I need to be humble. That's how it is with things. So in the natural, fathers choose their children. In the natural. In the spiritual, children choose their fathers. You have to go to them. And you say to them, I want you to disciple me. I want you to coach me up. You got to seek them out. It's permission-based. Pastoring is permission-based. And what I find is a lot of people want a preacher, not many people want a pastor. Because a pastor gets in your stuff, right? Pastor, and I'm not saying I got to go have coffee with you, all right? I'm saying that when you show up on Sundays and you hear me preach a message and you go, wow, that was for me. I'll have 15, 20 people come to me many times after a service and go, I think you're preaching right to me. And I always say, yeah, it was the title of my message. It was your name, actually. Did you know that? It wasn't, by the way, but what is that? That's you have said, that's my pastor right there. That's my pastor right there. We have people that attend our church that will introduce me to someone else, and they'll go, this is my friend, this is whatever. The other day we were having lunch, and I love that you introduced us as your pastor. This is my pastor right here. That's all right, got it. Now I know. All right. I gotta get my game up now, right? Not just preaching, now I'm pastoring. And it doesn't have to be me, but you need to find you a pastor. You don't need just a church. You need a pastor. I mean, it's already quiet. So don't get me quiet. Right? You don't just need a church. You need a pastor. You need somebody that you know, that's my shepherd. When that guy speaks, I know that he's our gal. When they speak, I know that they prayed. I know that they have my best wishes at heart, that they fasted. And so when they speak that way, that's why people can show up. That's why I'll get a text from Dr. Kemp, or I'll get a call from Robert Stout. They say, man, that was for me today. Thank you for that, Pat. That just makes me, oh, come on. It makes what we do worth it. I want to encourage you. Look at this. 1 Corinthians 4:15. Even if you had 10,000 guardians, one translation says teachers, you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I became your father through the gospel. I want you to listen. Be very careful. Now, this is going to sound conceited, and if you take this out of context, you're wrong. So don't take it out of context. I want to encourage you to be very careful how many voices you're allowing to speak into your soul. It's very prevalent now with YouTube, social media. You can be listening to messages and theology and doctrines from all over. Be very careful how many voices you have coming into your heart. I'm all for us gaining knowledge, but be very careful that you don't, because you have a lot of teachers, but you don't have any fathers. But just let me caution you on that. Listen, and you don't need perfect, but you do need a pastor. Because you're looking for perfect, you need to find another church, okay? But you do need a pastor. You need someone that you can look at. I remember when we got ready to plant the hills. And I was talking to Dr. Phil Brassfield, who's on our oversight team as well, and was a major part of helping us launch the hills. And we were talking about, you know, what we're going to do. And I mean, we were meeting in our home. That was like 15 of us in our living room. And I was trying to think of things, we're going to market it and do all this stuff. And he said, John 10:27 says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. He said, John, all you got to do is be you. And if you be you, the sheep will hear your voice and they'll show up. Just be you. Just do what you do. Be the same you at the restaurant or on the golf course as you are on stage. Just be you, man, and just watch it. People just, they just show up. And that's what happens. And I would encourage you to do the same thing. Just be you and watch the people that you're supposed to disciple will hear your voice and they will come and go, I'd like for you to lean into my life. Just be that. And again, if I'm not the one, that's fine. That's why there's a bunch of churches in Nashville. But you need to find you a shepherd. Find someone that speaks to your soul. When you hear them speak, you know it. That's my man. That's my woman right there. We are connected. The following is so important. What I'm about to say is really important. So I want you to lean in. Those of you online, lean in. I want you to hear this. We can only focus on others if we are reigning in our own lives. You can only focus on others if you're reigning in your home and you're reigning in your family. You can't focus on discipling anybody if you don't have it happening right here. So you have to get to a place of reigning in your own life, and then you can help other people. Now, I'm not talking about being perfect. I'm talking about this lifestyle. And before we can rule and reign, we have to have a mindset that we were created to rule and reign. You hear me? This is what I want us to get over the last week, this week, and maybe next week. I want us to grab this. God created us to reign in every area of our life. If he gives you a job, you're supposed to reign in that job. If he gives you a spouse, y'all, that marriage, you're supposed to rule and reign together in that marriage with those kids, that family. A career, you're supposed to reign in that. And this is a filter that we have to have so we can view everything. It's like a lens. Now, the old song, these rose-colored glasses. And you put those on and everything you see has that rose color to it. So this is the mindset you and I need to have. I'm ruling and reigning. And everything I look at, I'm looking at it from that perspective. Not haughty, out of humility, but also understanding that God has put me here to take authority. God has placed me where I am with who I am so that I can rule and reign. And then once he gives me the territory and then I'm walking in my authority and ruling and reigning, then I can hand that territory back over to him. And that's how his kingdom is established in the earth, by each of us reigning in every area of our life. And where does it start? Right here. My daddy, called him Papa Rags. He's funny. He did dad jokes before dad jokes were a thing. I'd walk in, elbow hurt me. Dad, it hurts when I do this. Don't do that. Okay, Dad, thanks. That was one he would say. The other one is, it's all in your mind, boy. It's all in your mind. You ever heard that? Anybody said that? Yeah, it's all in your mind. You know what? Right. It is. It's all right here. Because our mind controls our life. Now, I want you to lean in and listen to me. This is important that you get this, that we get this. Romans 8 and 6. Letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your mind leads to life and peace. Not heart, your mind. Romans 12, 2. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your heart, renewing of your soul. No, renewing of your mind. That, our mindset. What creates our mindset? Our thoughts. And a thought, thoughts start with a thought. So we talk about changing our life. We're not going to change your life until you change your mindset. You're not going to change your mindset until you're changing your thought pattern, the way you're thinking. My son, Evan, both boys are just super talented in their different ways. Evan is very driven, very goal-oriented, and always has been. And the other day we were talking about something, and something I need to work on. and by myself. I just want to be better at that. He said, okay, Dad, let's talk about this. All right. He said, I mean, so what you want to be is a 10, right? Well, let's not get crazy. We could do a 9, 8.5 maybe. All right, where you want to go? 10? Okay, 10. Where do you think you are right now in that area? I said, maybe a 3. He said, okay, how about you don't focus on 10, you focus on 4. Just be a 5. Let's start there. I was like, I'm your daddy. Shut up. You don't talk to me that way. Until he deadlifts 500 pounds, so I'm not messing with him. Just, okay, buddy, you do your deal. But it got me. I was like, okay, it's a thought. It starts with a thought. This thought that becomes thoughts, that become a mindset, that becomes a way of life. And it changes everything, because you're seeing everything through that view, right? Because I'm looking at you, wondering what you think of me. That's what we do. Nobody in this room came to church to see what anybody else was wearing. Nobody. You came to church so everybody could see what you're wearing. Nobody cares what you're wearing. They want you to see what they're wearing. Right? It's the way we are. It's a mindset. It's a thought process. It's the way we think. And look at what the Bible says. 2 Corinthians 10:5. Take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. How do I change my life? How do I rule and reign? By changing my mindset the way I think. How do I change my mindset the way I think? By taking every thought captive to Christ. The thought is not what's wrong. It's the thought that lingers that becomes wrong. Because we're all going to have those thoughts. But it says as soon as that thought comes, you take it captive. You ever watch those rodeos where they rope those steer? Seen that? Hey, rope them. That's kind of what I think about when it says take captive. As soon as that negativity comes in, as soon as it should, nope, under the lordship of Christ. That's not how Jesus thinks. That's not how we talk around here. Cancel that stuff out. Those of you that battle with anxiety, that's not a joke. That's a big deal. Those of you that battle with panic attacks, suffer from depression, those of you that have thoughts of self-harm, it's not a joke. It's a real deal. And I'm going to tell you, thank God for therapists and thank God for medication. Thank God for all of that. But also taking thoughts captive. I had a young man come up to me after service today. Never would think it. Well, successful, good-looking guy, beautiful wife, driving a nice car. And he said, I think about suicide. I think about killing myself. Nobody knows that. He hadn't told a soul. Or maybe he has, but I would never. Thank you for that message today. And it all starts with that thought. That you got to take it captive. As soon as that's not how Jesus would think. Say that with me. That's not how Jesus would think. No, he rules and reigns. And as soon as that thought, listen to me, lean in. As soon as that thought enters your head and you go, they don't like me, I'll never amount to this, you got to wrap it up, tie it up, clear. I'm not going to linger on that. And then once we have this mindset, this way, this worldview is what it really is, the way we look at life, once that begins to shift and change, and once we become less and less insecure and we start understanding who God's created us to be, then that mindset begins to shift, and then you begin to see yourself ruling and reigning in your life. And that's how we live the life that Christ promised. That's how we walk in abundance, is with that mindset. God brought me here to reign. When you go to school tomorrow, walk on that parking lot with this. God put me here to reign today. When you go to work tomorrow, walk in with that mindset. When you go home today, what if you walked in your house? What if we just began to live that way? and just watch what God does in your life. Come on, get your shoulders back. Get your chest up. Come on, get your chin up. I had to tell myself that last night. I had to tell myself that this morning. Matter of fact, I had to tell myself that sitting right there. I had to remind myself of what I was going to be preaching. I'm not going to live a less than, I am no longer going to live a less than life, and I don't want you to either. Come on, if you receive this word, just say amen. Amen. Let me pray for you. Just close your eyes. Lord, I pray for every human being in this room right now, especially those, God, that have been struggling with anxiety, been battling with insecurity, for those, God, that are just not ruling and reigning. Matter of fact, they're being reigned over and ruled over. They don't feel like they have control. I'm praying right now, Holy Spirit, that you would do the work that only you can do. Encourage them. Lift them up. Let them begin to see themselves the way you see them. Let them begin to understand how you created them to be. Let them know the authority that they have through you and in you. That you are Lord of lords and King of kings. And you allow us to sit beside you. And the angels do our bidding. Angels are ministers for the saints. Help us to understand who we are. We're the apple of your eye. You gave your life for us. I pray for that in Jesus' name. I speak against every suicidal thought. I speak against every thought of self-harm. I speak against, Lord, the thoughts of just giving up and walking away. Come on, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Watching online, I'm praying for you right now. I want you to hear this. I want you to feel this. He loves you. He wants you walking in His power and His authority. In Jesus' name. You better say amen. Why don't you stand with me? I mean, I've been standing. Why don't y'all stand? At home right now, somebody just standing up. All right, now look, Hills family, I want you to lean in with me, okay? I don't want you to bypass this moment, because we do this almost every service where we give folks an opportunity to make a next step toward Jesus. And sometimes I can see you, those of you who've been here a while, start tuning it out. Don't. Do you know what an honor it is that we get to be in the room when people change their eternal address? Do you understand that? It's like we're in the labor delivery room. So we're here together with these folks. And I want to encourage you today, if you have never given your heart to Jesus, this would be a great day to do it. The Bible tells us that if you will believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that He is the risen, resurrected Savior, that you will be saved. Now, He won't put you on a waiting list to get everything figured out. No, you will be saved. Now, there's other steps after that. We know that. But this is a huge step. And so I want to encourage you today. If you've never asked Jesus to be your Lord, or maybe you feel distant from Him, and today you want to reconnect, you want to recommit your life to Jesus, I want to encourage you just to pray this prayer with me, believing. Those in overflow and online, come on, Hills family. Let's just join together. Let's pray this together. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for your death, burial, and resurrection. Today, I give you my life, and I receive yours. Forgive me of my sins. Cover me with your grace. I confess that you are the resurrected Lord, and I declare that you are my Lord. And I want to live with you forever in the mighty name of Jesus. Everybody say amen. Come on, Hills family. Would you celebrate with these folks that prayed this prayer today? Amen.